Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the Balance Wrap-Up, and that legend continues today.
It's time to start.
My name's Tom Mark Lestel, Presidente. So glad that you could join us on the Monday evening wrap-up. That's right. We've got a lot to wrap up across the NFL and the NCAA. And so we want to jump right into it. And joining me, as always, the man with his own jersey, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing today, sir?
I'm doing well today. A little disappointed about the Colts game, but we have nothing to feel bad about last night's game.
Oh, absolutely not. And we'll certainly dive right into that right here in just a second. And absolutely, guys, the Indianapolis Colts turned it around. Give them an A-plus on my report card for the night. And we'll certainly get into more of this in just a moment. But, guys, I think that we need to just – calm down with the storm a little bit, and let's move forward with Curtis Painter. Now, and that brings me to the top story of the day. Josh, thanks for sending me that text, but it was just a few minutes after that I was getting tweets from everybody in the media across the United States that basically was saying, hey, Jim Irsay says Peyton Manning is no longer going to be with the team for at least for the remainder part of the season. And obviously that was a whirlwind of frenzy of media reports. Obviously, later on, Jim Irsay kind of retracted that a little bit, but really not surprising to me on either account that he would retract that or that he would even make the decision to not have Peyton Manning, number 18, on board for the rest of the season. It's just kind of a little bit of a closure that fans needed. And to bring you guys up to speed that haven't heard, and Joshua would certainly get your thoughts on it here in just a second, but Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay said this morning that it is possible that Peyton Manning will practice in December, but the team is not looking for him to come back till the 2012 season. And that's exactly what happened that created this whirlwind of events. And I talked with various different people, including you, Josh, and I have never seen so many contradictory reports. Literally, whatever channel, whatever station, whatever report you were looking at, it was all different. But Irsay, basically what had happened is made a comment at the donor kickoff to the Super Bowl meeting at the Chase Tower, which was an event that was for executives whose companies donated to help bring the Super Bowl to the Lucas Oil Stadium on February 5th, 2012. In a follow-up comment on Twitter, now here we go again, Josh, with Twitter, Irsay explained that Manning would be kept on the active duty roster and the team is taking his rehab month by month. Now, why that is so very, very important, had Jim Irsay put Peyton Manning, number 18, on the injured reserve list, that would have essentially ended his season for the rest of the year and freeing up a quarterback slot, which then obviously the rumors surround David Gerrard, Brett Favre, hell, Joe Montana. Somebody's got to be better than what we got, and we'll get into this in just a minute, guys. But I think Curtis Painter, give him the job. Let's move forward. Let's start winning some games, and let's get Peyton Manning healthy. Joshua, you're up.
Well, as you know, Tom, I'm a new season ticket holder, and I was at the game last night. I didn't have season tickets coming in this year, but I had a chance to buy them for the rest of the season moving forward. It was awesome to be in Lucas Oil Stadium last night. You could tell the Colts fans weren't really sold on Kerry Collins. And when Curtis Painter came into the game, I don't know if you could tell this on TV or not, Tom, he was getting cheers from the fans. And I thought, with the exception of the fumble, and I've seen it twice today, there should have been a penalty on Troy Polamalu for being offsides for the ball was snapped as he met Curtis Painter almost before the ball got there. I thought he looked nice, calm, cool, collected. He made some good throws. He showed he had a better arm than Kerry Collins does. Last night, Tom, I think Curtis Painter grew up, stopped being a boy and became a man. And I think if you give Curtis Painter all week knowing he's going to be the starter, I think he just might be all right.
Oh, absolutely. Josh, I was looking for you to go your full 2 minutes. We're going to have to get you a stop clock. No, absolutely. Here's the thing. You know, let's just look at it for what it was. I mean, Curtis Painter, he led the Colts to 7 points, but left 7 on the field with Pierre Garçon's overthrow. Now, I say give Painter a little bit of credit, and I've been the guy that's done that here on this show, on the Gary Snyder show, and on my blogs, and all across the United States. I've been the one that says, you know, hey, give this guy a break. But, you know, he's basically been our punching bag guy for the last couple of years. And, you know, maybe quite honestly for good reason. A 9.8 quarterback rating is in a limited regular season work doesn't lie, nor does a 28% completion percentage. And those first two Painter-led series were somewhere south of, well, we'll just call it atrocious. NBC's Chris Collinsworth said, now you know why they gave Kerry Collins $4 million. Quite frankly, I think what happened, Jim Irsay said, Bill Polian, here's $4 million. Go find a quarterback that can say, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And I just think that, Kerry Collins is done. And I think that the relationship that Bill Polian and Jim Caldwell had with Kerry Collins was the opportunity. Maybe they didn't research that enough. But, you know, basically, I still say let's go back and regroup. Curtis Painter was the backup from the beginning. We can't do anything about the $4 million that's already spent. Let's move forward. You know, on the first drive, yes, Painter overthrew Garçon. He was wide open for a walk-in touchdown after putting a double move on Pittsburgh defensive back Taylor. On the second drive, he held onto the ball too long, got blindsided by Harrison and fumbled. The ball bounced nicely to Troy Polamalu, who ran for the go-ahead touchdown. But then, ladies and gentlemen, this is when it gets interesting for Curtis Painter. 2013 is the score. Painter began to look, and this is what Josh was talking about earlier, Painter began to look a little bit like a mature NFL quarterback, showing why Reggie Wayne came to his defense and came to as one of his very avid supporters. He led an 80-yard game-tying touchdown drive through two sweet passes downfield to Garçon. I tell you what, it was really something. But let's move forward with Curtis Painter. I think we give him the job on Monday. We give him let him practice as the starter all week long. I think when he gets on the field on Monday night, we'll see a completely different Indianapolis Colts and a completely different Curtis Painter, Josh.
I absolutely agree. And I've been really hard on Curtis Painter, but Tom, let's think about it. He's maybe appeared in 4 regular season games. That makes him a rookie. Cam Newton's appeared in almost that many games in his first season. So to say that Curtis Painter is a bust maybe was a bit harsh. I had a chance to talk to a lot of Colts fans. I sat with some great Colts fans at Lucas Oil Stadium. I sat with some people that do cover stuff for the sports. Hopefully we can get some connections covered there. But we all basically came to the same conclusion after seeing him. Yeah, he makes some mistakes. Sometimes he makes some dumb throws. Maybe he doesn't always read the entire field. But, Tom, he's basically a rookie in regular season games. It's unfair. And I'll eat some crow. Maybe we went a bit unfair on Curtis Painter by saying, oh, he's no good, he's trash. Why does he still have a job? He looked like a nice, cool, calm, collected quarterback. He needs to go through practice. I say we make Kerry Collins his backup, period. I don't care how healthy Kerry Collins is. Trust Peyton Manning, because for all intents and purposes, you couldn't see this on TV. There was a point last night where it looked like Clyde Christensen turned off his headset. Maybe he didn't. Maybe him and Manning were calling the plays together. I don't know exactly how that was working. But trust Christensen, trust Caldwell, trust Kerry College, trust Manning. They're not going to give him bad information. Nobody's looking for him to throw for 350 yards and 5 touchdowns. Take care of the ball. Don't turn it over. Joe Adai and DeLon Carter are running the ball again. Actually, the Colts outrushed Pittsburgh Steelers. I never thought they'd say that. And trust his offensive line and his receivers, and you'll be all right.
No, absolutely. And here's the thing, and a guy in the league that I have a lot of respect for, and obviously a lot of people in the media do, and a lot of people do, is Mr. Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy says, give it to Curtis Painter. He's earned the job. You know, the fact that it's even an option that he's a starting quarterback wouldn't even be brought up if it wasn't for Kerry Collins' injury. That caused the starting quarterback, Kerry Collins, to leave the Colts the fourth quarter in the attempted comeback. And even then, if Peyton Manning was healthy, Painter would still be holding the clipboard as well. Painter finished the game with a pretty modest stat line as he completed 5 of his 11 passes for 60 yards and coughed up the ball for what amounted to be a touchdown going in the other direction. But he also led the Indianapolis offense to its only touchdown of the game after Collins couldn't do it despite 29 passing attempts. So to me, guys, Curtis Painter, let's give him the job, let's move forward, and let's see what he can do with it, and let's go from there. You're listening to the wrap-up on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit of IU's embarrassment, Notre Dame, and the upcoming Notre Dame-Purdue game right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Balanced Wrap-Up.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, welcome back to the Balanced Wrap-Up right here on Blog Talk Radio, coast to coast. We do this thing called the Wrap-Up every weekday except for Hump Day at 6 o'clock Eastern. My name is Sam Marcos, El Presidente, your host, and right alongside me is Mr. $2 Bill, Josh. Well, Josh, real quickly, and then we'll get into some college football here, but outside of the Colts, we know what happened there. We know what's going to need to happen in the future. How about the Buffalo Bills coming back to beat those New England Patriots? Josh? Hello, Josh? Okay, well, maybe we've lost Josh. Josh, are you with us?
Sorry, we had a bit of technical difficulty. I guess you couldn't hear me or...
Couldn't hear you. You must have had us on mute, so go ahead.
I'm trying to use Skype here on my cell phone. I'm not sure how well it's working, but I'm making an attempt to.
Well, it's not working, so go ahead.
Buffalo was a great comeback. I got a chance to watch part of the end of that game over at Lucas Oil Stadium, as I got to get into the building a few hours early to go ahead and take care of processing season ticket and all that good stuff. I thought it was an awesome accomplishment. Buffalo's for real. Detroit's for real. Carolina got their win. But, Tom, I got to know, and I've asked you this before. Save for a last-second field goal, you said the Colts would win, and they didn't, but they almost did. For all intents and purposes, it was a moral victory. The defense came back. How do you do it, buddy? How do you always know this stuff?
Are you talking about my pick for the Colts, or are you talking about my pick for Buffalo and New England? What are you?
You picked Buffalo and you picked the Colts. Buffalo won, the Colts didn't. But how do you always know this stuff?
You know what? I have got a tarot card reader right here in the Balance Studios, and she works pretty cheap. So, you know, I have her, look at my palm and say, I don't know. I know it all. I am literally the Rush Limbaugh of sports talk, Josh. You do not know how great of greatness that you are in. I'm going to start my own ditto cam right here on the Balance. Absolutely. Well, speaking of ditto, told you so, I told you so, Mr. Michael Vick. Again, here he is hurt again. Oh, that's right. It's all the referee's fault. Why is it every time he throws the ball, he's getting hit? What a rant. What a bunch of BS. Take your $100 million and go spend it on whatever you need to that's legal, because apparently we now have to make this that justification for quarterbacks like Michael Vick. He's a little guy. He doesn't need to be playing quarterback. He needs to be a running back anyway. So don't complain. You're getting $100 million. I have no sympathy for you. Josh, what are your thoughts?
I have absolutely no sympathy for Michael Vick. He needs to be quiet, play football. He wasn't worth $100 million to begin with. I'm getting sick and tired of Vince Young, Michael Vick, and all these running quarterbacks. They think they're always getting singled out by the referees. Listen, Vick, the referees have 106 players when you have the two teams together. They have their paychecks to worry about. They have feeding their families to worry about. They do not have time to sit here and have a personal vendetta against Michael Vick. Maybe the fact of the matter is, Vick, you're just not that good. Maybe you need to deal with that and move on.
Absolutely. Okay, guys. Well, we real quickly want to run down the scores of the NFL, and we'll get more of your fantasy football questions and stuff on the gridiron, which will be running live 2 hours this Saturday from 6 to – I mean, it's this Thursday night from 6 to – we'll try this again – from 7 to 9 p.m. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. And then we'll rerun the broadcast on Saturday morning, because obviously there's a lot going on. Saturday night I'll be up at the Purdue-Notre Dame game on the sidelines there, and that's going to be a very good game to cover. Okay, we already talked about Buffalo, New England, Jacksonville over Carolina. Carolina over Jacksonville, 16-10. San Francisco had their way with Cincinnati. Again, Cleveland comes off with another unexpected win against Miami. Detroit. Wow, they're the real deal. They were starting to get beat by Minnesota, and they had an eye-opener, and they said, whoa, we're not going back to the old Detroit. We're the new Detroit. They come back, and we won. My hat's off to the Lions. The Saints, what a game that was. I watched that game right here at the Balance Studio, Houston and New Orleans. What a fight that was. Also, what a fight it was, the Giants, Little Manning, and Michael Vick going at it, or at least when Michael Vick was in. Of course, Denver and Tennessee going at it. Oakland and New York Jets, another good game. Kansas City and San Diego winning that one 20-17. Baltimore stomping all over the Rams, and we'll get into more of the St. Louis from last year and the St. Louis of this year on Thursday. Green Bay, nobody's going to stop Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Not even Chicago and their trick play. That was a pretty good trick play, though, I must say. 27-17, Arizona and Seattle. Seattle comes off with a win. Atlanta and Tampa Bay, 13-16. Obviously, you know what happened right here in Indianapolis. Indianapolis lost tonight. Good game. Washington and Dallas. Real quickly, Josh, who do you pick?
I think Washington's going to go ahead and win that game and improve to 3-0. There's several surprising 3-0 teams. Washington wins will be 3-0. Buffalo's 3-0. Detroit's 3-0. Oakland's 3-0. By the way, I want to give Tom credit again. Tom has been on the Oakland Raiders bandwagon. Even when me and Gary Snyder have mocked him for it, Tom told us that Oakland was a much improved team. And I remember calling you absurd for saying that.
Hey, you know what? Never doubt the Tom Meister. Never doubt him. Never doubting whatsoever. I'm going to go with the Redskins. I think the Redskins are going to beat Dallas. I think Dallas has got a good thing going. I think they play well in Dallas. But I like Washington in this game. I think Washington Redskins win this one 21-17. Well, guys, moving on to bigger, maybe not better, but certainly other things here on the wrap-up. Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I almost nailed that one to the T, too, if you remember right when we talked on the gridiron on that one as well. But after a less-than-perfect start to the season, Notre Dame has turned it on lately with a win over number 15 Michigan State and a big road victory last week against the Pittsburgh Panthers. The Irish are looking to put everything together in the next few matchups. Obviously, I just talked about them coming to West Lafayette at the Purdue game. I'll be there. The Irish have proven themselves to be a good road team after taking Michigan to the wire and, again, knocking off Pittsburgh last week. And Notre Dame will be likely favored in this one. But the Boilermakers, and I've been there to two games. I know, Josh, you've been to one of the Purdue games. Purdue's no chump. Purdue runs the ball a lot, and they run it very, very well. Of course, the Irish have been terrific at stopping the run this year, so this could be a strength versus a strength matchup. On the other side of the ball, though, Purdue has been getting beat through the air, I should say, and that's where Notre Dame should beat the Boilermakers. And on the other side of the ball, I really think that Notre Dame comes off with a win on this one, and I expect this to be another relatively low-scoring game. But again, Notre Dame should win this game 13-10, and then next week they go into Air Force. So things are starting to shape up for the Irish, Josh.
I would absolutely agree. It should be a fascinating Notre Dame-Purdue game. I'm actually going to pick the Boilermakers to win. It's something me and Tom talked about during last weekend. It's each week, we're going to cover a Big Ten game of the week. This Saturday night, it's number 8, Nebraska, 4-0, playing in their first Big Ten game ever. At number 7, Wisconsin, who's also undefeated. And I don't know for sure, but I'm betting you that Tom believes Wisconsin should be ranked higher than 7th in the country.
And we will get into that, and I absolutely agree. And I'm also concerned as to what happened with Oklahoma, how they got knocked off the number 1 slot. There's a lot that I think the BCS rankings and BCS stuff is just simply BS. But what do you do? I have no idea. Well, let's talk about another game that was played on Saturday and an embarrassing loss to Indiana. Indiana, seriously, I cannot believe, Josh, I even wasted my bandwidth on that game. And I'm an IU alumni, an IU supporter, an IU fan. So I am just saying the non-conference season is over. Penn State is up on Saturday, and the Hoosiers are limping into the Big Ten play with a 1-3 record. Before we move forward into Penn State last week, here's a couple of thoughts of what's coming out of last week. What's going on with the wide receivers, Josh? Belcher not there. My air quotes, I'm using Belcher not there because of an injury, an undisclosed injury. How could all of your wide receivers be injured at exactly the same time? And why are practices closed? And why are people quitting teams? And why, what is going on with Kevin Wilson and the players at Indiana University, Josh?
I'm not going to lead a crusade that Kevin Wilson needs to go. There are some troubling signs. Tom just mentioned many of them. Practice was never closed under Mallory or Lynch or DiNardo or Cam Cameron. Practices are all of a sudden closed. Players are quitting. We have no wide receivers. We can't beat North Texas. We can't beat South Carolina State. Well, I mean, we did beat South Carolina State, but we should have blown them out. Kevin Wilson, if you want to be in Bloomington longer than a year, you're a great guy. I've had a chance to meet you 2 or 3 different times on high school Friday nights. You're a great guy. Nobody's debating you're a great guy. This is Indiana University. We did not hire you to go. What's quite honestly going to be 1-11. If we have to rally and fall short against North Texas, there's no chance they're going to beat anybody in the Big Ten. It's an absolute embarrassment. And I don't know about you, Tom, but I'm a bit worried as to whether or not Kevin Wilson is the right guy.
Well, I'm like you, Josh. I am not going to lead a crusade that says, you know, fire Kevin Wilson. But there's certainly something that has to be done. And if North Texas can shut down the IU running game, what happens in the Big Ten play? That's what really concerns me. Indiana gained 50 yards on 29 carries Saturday. Most of that was Roberts, but what gives? I know the backs haven't done great things against Division 1A programs this year, but again, this is a defense that has surrendered 559 yards per game. I know Alabama was one of those first three teams, but still, if Indiana can't run against North Texas, how bad is it going to be Saturday against Penn State, Josh?
Oh, I don't even know as a Hoosier fan if I could stomach to watch it. I'm a Hoosier fan, so I'm going to watch it. I'm a Kevin Wilson supporter. You will never hear me say a bad thing after I finally had the chance to meet Kevin Wilson. I know I criticized him early on. Tom, it's going to be ugly. I'm thinking, well, Penn State might put up 70 against the Hoosiers, and Penn State's not a very good Big Ten team, and they may put up 70. What's going to happen if we play Michigan State, Nebraska, or Wisconsin?
Oh, I know, absolutely. It's going to be total annihilation. It's going to be a total destruction. But here's the thing. It is Indiana University football. I know we shouldn't get that worked up about Indiana University football, but I'm just saying they should win the games they should win. At least then when they lose the games they're supposed to lose, people are a little bit more forgiving. We should have won that North Texas game. Josh, real quickly here, let's break down what's coming up this week. Obviously, Thursday is going to be our game of the week, Wisconsin, Nebraska. We're going to break it down by the numbers. Real quick preview, Josh, you got about 60 seconds to 2 minutes to break down that for us.
Well, Nebraska's afraid and afraid in the country. They're 4-0. They have a great offense. They can't throw the ball. They have a good defense. They give up a lot of points. Wisconsin's undefeated. It's Nebraska's first Big Ten game. As I'm welcome to the Big Ten, with quite possibly the team that I think needs to thank North Carolina State, because I believe Wisconsin's going to win the national championship, and I don't see short of somebody in the SEC anything anybody can do about it. Also on Thursday night, we're going to talk about Ball State has a very tough task. I know Ball State fans, you are excited. The Cardinals are 3-1. I'm sorry, Ball State fans. I don't.
Go ahead, Josh.
I don't know if you scheduled this game for Saturday, but Ball State's going to Oklahoma on Saturday night.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people like Ball State, like to see what they can do. Josh, we got 60-second timeout. Go for it.
All right, tune in to watch the Redskins Cowboys tonight. If you're not busy tomorrow night, go down to Casico for the Indiana Fever Atlanta Dream game number 3. And the baseball playoffs start on Friday night.
All right, that's going to do it with a wrap-up right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and be rest assured, we'll be ready to wrap you up right here on Blog Talk Radio.